This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
A lot of people have said there are people now dying of the swine flu who are in good health. By whose standards? Hospitals serve Jell-O.
Robert Scott Bell.
Food advertising. You know the people. Fresh, natural, hearty, old-fashioned, homemade goodness in a can.
Robert Scott Bell.
Dr. Agus argues that the fountain of youth is attainable if everyone were to take statin drugs.
Excuse me?
It sounds completely, completely insane.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
All right, we're back and live from the International Association of Near-Death Studies.
Yes.
Yeah, IANS. And I am joined right now by a very special guest. She's the author of Final Gifts, Understanding the Special Awareness, Needs, and Communications of the Dying, Maggie Callahan.
Thank you.
Maggie, nice to meet you. You know what's interesting about you? You probably do because you're you. but you're talking about NDAs.
Yes.
And we're here at NDEs. Yes. And I'm thinking, when I read what you were talking about, I was like, oh, man, this is so important.
Yes.
Nearing death awareness. I want to put it out to my listeners. Listen, folks, if you haven't had an NDE, you probably know someone who has died. And maybe if it's been a long, slow process of dying, you have talked to them and seen them, and then suddenly they're seeing things that you don't think are there. Or they're confused.
Right.
What's real, what isn't.
Right.
And this is what you're talking about.
That's my field.
How the lines begin to blur between the life that we know and the life that we're about to enter. Does that make sense?
I prefer to call it a foot in two worlds.
A foot in two worlds, okay.
Okay, so sometimes they're drifting and leaning more to the foot in this reality, and sometimes they're drifting more to the foot in whatever comes next.
Mm-hmm.
And the language that they use sounds confused to us because we don't see what they're doing.
Right. I often think about the youngest of children,
mm-hmm.
that they're also in two worlds very often.
Oh, very much
before
so.
They become
sure.
very worldly and connected
that's
and grounded
right.
here. And we as
until we ruin them.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. We tell them, oh, no, that
yes.
stuff's not
yes,
real.
That's right.
imagination. I'm thinking,
yeah.
no, that's the greatest gift
exactly.
we have is to stay connected.
Right.
And they're reconnecting at the latter part of your life, their life or whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, what about the in-between stage?
Yes.
Can we have that kind of awareness without having to have an NDE or this NDA because you're dying, right?
Right.
What's your experience with this? Because this is
well, I can tell you that really I am eternally grateful to the near-death experience and to this group which I belong to for nearly 30 years now, because it was the work of Dr. Raymond Moody who defined the near-death experience, wrote his book Life After Life, that changed my practice as a critical care nurse. Mm-hmm. I was working in emergency rooms. This was back in the late 60s, and I was certainly involved in many, many resuscitations, and being the nurse, you're left behind to clean up, and so I was often in the treatment room with the patient that mm-hmm. had just been resuscitated and revived, and I heard the things that they said, and I saw their behavior, and I can tell you how a lot of them were very angry. You know, you had no right to pull me back here. I was
right.
in a much better place.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Yeah.
And so when I read Raymond Moody's book, it was like, oh, my gosh, that's what's happening.
Right.
I took it to the emergency room and said, you've got to read this book. It's fabulous.
And did they open arms with it? Or
no, they yeah. labeled me the weird nurse.
Right, yes.
You know, too woo-woo, too out there.
Yeah.
Medicine is a very exact science.
Mm-hmm.
The NDE spans science and spiritual and whatever you want to call it. if you can't draw blood from it or x-ray it, the medical world tends to discount it.
Right. Well, it's a very materialistic, reductionist kind of thought in life. Is so much more than that. You know,
right.
We talk about the vital force and spiritual context and concepts. They kind of said, oh, no, that's not real.
Right.
And so they're at a loss
to
relate to folks dealing with this, much less the families who are watching this happen. And
I
think that's what you were drawn to say. We need to talk about this.
Well, it was powerful to me because, as I say, I was usually the nurse cleaning up when the patient was beginning to recover and be awake again.
Mm-hmm.
And I, after reading Raymond's book, I would say, welcome back. You know, have you been on an interesting journey?
Yes.
And the things I heard were just mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. And being weird, being labeled the weird nurse, I kept them to myself because I loved my job. I didn't want to get fired. But because of that, that started my journey to a place where other people were dying, and I ended up working at hospice, which I've been at for 38 years, working with hospice for 38 years. And a colleague and I started being interested in the unique language and behavior of people dying slowly of illness.
Okay.
So with a near-death experience, you're clinically dead. That's it. There's no vital signs, no whatever. You're resuscitated, revived, and you come back. My patients drift. They are not clinically dead. They are talking. They are looking at me. They are answering questions. And suddenly, out of the blue, they'll say something that doesn't make sense. And we started to, colleague and I, Pat Kelly, started to catalog these stories and these comments because we both felt that it was something important. And basically, if you ever want to write a book, you do it on recipe cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had written all these interesting things on recipe cards, spread them out on the living room floor, and the book wrote itself. It was like, oh my gosh, all these people are talking about seeing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
All these people are talking about getting ready for a journey. All these people are talking about beautiful places.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, these were all things that we couldn't see. And so that was it. That was the basis of Final Gifts. It's now in 14 languages and seems to be happening around the world.
By the way, check out the book. It's available, I'm sure, at Amazon, right,
yes,
as well. And is there a website to learn more as well?
Yeah, Maggie Callanan, C-A-L-L-A-N.
Callanan, thank you. Yeah,
MaggieCallanan.com.
Yes. Okay, so.
And that will tell you everything you want to know about me and the work.
Beautiful. Well, this is something I want everybody to plug into. I'm thinking about who this could help. Certainly can help those who are dying, but
absolutely,
in many cases, they're like, you know, whatever, I'm off in the other world anyway. But I think more importantly, those who are living still in the body and
exactly,
not having those experiences, the family members, the healthcare providers.
It's basically who we wrote the book for,
mm-hmm,
were the sort of observer participants.
Mm-hmm.
It broke my heart that families who are so dedicated, so loving, you know, hospice is a hard job for families, but no hands can replace the loving care that the family's hands can provide.
Right.
And we just act as support and give the family everything they need to do this. But people get exhausted and they get overwhelmed. And, you know, somebody said to me, it's the hardest job I ever loved. But, you know, the harder you do it, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm.
The person gets sicker because they get closer to dying.
Yeah.
And your reward for all your good work is that you lose someone you love.
Yeah.
So it's an awfully hard job for families to do, and my role is to support them, make them understand how wonderful they are, make them understand what a difference they're making,
mm-hmm,
help them to see that this person would never be so happy anyplace else, and also try and point out the gifts along the way,
right,
because it's a powerful experience to share.
My wife, when her father was passing in the hospital, it was like a 6 month time period, and toward the end, she would meet with him in the hospital, and he was seeing things clearly that were, according to our eyes, not there.
Right.
He was talking to folks.
People,
he was in a different time.
Exactly.
And my wife understood some of these things because we were open to that for other things. So it wasn't like it was unusual. She was fascinated by it, and she would encourage it and talk and love. And although her mother didn't know what was going on, it was all hallucinations and things like that that were going on. So if you're in a situation like this, let's say you have someone who has no earthly idea of what is going on, What do you say to them about these experiences that can help them to be present in those moments when they're not sharing the experience with their spouse, their loved one, their parent? You know, how can you help them?
I tell them to have a notebook and write down everything that the person, the dying person says that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ideally that person would be a hospice patient because we're trained to hear this. But, for example, when a person says, I want to go home, of course it makes sense if they're in the hospital, they want to go home. I take care of people dying in their own beds, in their own homes, and they're telling me, I want to go home.
Yes, you're
and
already home. Wait, what home are you talking about?
And if I say 208 Oak Street, they look at me like I need a CAT scan of my brain.
Yeah.
They're talking about their next and future home, whatever that happens to be. This is not a religious thing. This spans all religions, all cultures. You
that's
know.
What I have in all the interviews I've done with the NDE folks, and now with you, confirming
right.
that. This is, you know, religion is man-made.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
We have beliefs, we have experiences, and many people will see who they're comfortable
exactly.
with seeing as they're transitioning. But the reality is these experiences are transcending any one 501c3 church, synagogue,
yes,
mosque, etc.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I was raised in a very traditional religious family. And I certainly have a great fondness for God. We work together very well. My work with the dying and with the critically ill for NDE has made me less religious, but incredibly more spiritual.
Right, right.
And it's a much better place. Not that religion is bad. It's wonderful.
No, it can be a great place
expanding.
To come together and
exactly.
reinforce and social. I mean, there's a lot of good. There are those that say, oh, it's all. Listen, we're all about the experiences, and we
right.
have almost an unlimited array down
right.
here, in here, wherever we call it.
Right.
So in that transition period, particularly with our Western mindset, we have lost the traditions if we go back in time, thousands of years, or even to the Eastern side
exactly.
where it's a, you know, these transitions are more accepted, they're communicated about,
sure.
the mysteries are not as mysterious to them, and so it's very difficult for a Western mindset to begin to conceive of this. That's why I think your book is going to be, if it hasn't already, impacted mm-hmm. tremendously in this culture.
Yeah, hopefully so, because, you know, medicine, thank God for it, it keeps us alive. We're healthier, wealthier, and wiser than we've ever been before, in large part because of the excellent medical care that we get.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm certainly not saying that we can't, you know, we should discount what medicine does. Or emergency care that brings you back to life, that's wonderful.
Right.
Okay, but there's a point where when you're dying of a terminal illness, those resources are not helpful for you. They don't prolong your living, they prolong your dying.
Mm.
And so that's where the care has to change.
Right.
And, you know, the people to teach us how to die are those who are dying.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, as my father was dying, he said to me, you know, one out of one go, the odds are against us. You know, and yet you can buy a book to learn how to build a deck. You can buy a instruction pamphlet on running your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody teaches us how to die.
Right.
And we don't get out of this world alive. We're all going to have to do it. So instead of looking at dying people as tragic victims, we should look at them as the enlightened teachers that are given to us to show us what it's all about.
Beautifully said. Maggie Callanan, we're going to be back with you after this break. I want to, maybe there's a story or something impactful from the book that people would like to hear that will inspire them probably to want to get the book as well and learn more about this process.
Okay.
All right, we're here at IANS today and tomorrow, IANS.org. It's linked up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, Robert Scott Bell for the Doc of Detox here. How would it feel to not only be the wisest but the healthiest person in the room? What would it look like to no longer live in fear? How will it feel to truly be the healer of your body and the light that guides your family back to health? Well, now you can take back your power and get trained at the International Training Institute of Health. Go to itioh.com. Until we're trained correctly, we're going to suffer at the hands of those who think they know better. What would it feel like to never rely on the medical system ever again except for emergencies? How much more suffering, time, and money do you need to spend on treatments? It's time to get trained. Go to itioh.com. 35 years in the trenches has taught Dr. Daryl Wolf that no matter how good the treatment is, treatments are temporary at best, unless you take back your power and claim your universal right to self-healing. Thanks to Dr. Wolf, you can now go to docofdetox.com and itioh.com to take back your power and heal. Go there now, itioh.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish. GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Rocking the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Continuing now live from IANS, and I've got Maggie Callanan, her book, Final Gifts. You can see a picture in the show notes at robertscottbell.com, Understanding the Special Awareness Needs and Communications of the Dying. Bless you, Maggie, for doing work. It's so important. There's so much fear surrounding the dying.
It hurts
and
me.
I want the love to overwhelm the fear. The vitamin
it really
L,
hurts
right?
me.
The toxin F, the vitamin L. Let's flood it in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I see these families and they're so wonderful and working so hard, and their focus so much is on what's being lost, and there's such an opportunity to gain things. The biggest thing that they gain is a lessening of their fear when they find out that dying can be so comfortable, it can be so pain-free, it can be so calm, it can be so sweet. So I'm sort of on a one-woman crusade to stamp out the fear of dying.
I love that.
It's a big world, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
sort of,
you know,
doing it one
we
town at a time.
Might as well be that.
Right.
Stamp out the fear of dying. Now,
right.
Is there, you know, I know you've got many stories and you share because that book you said wrote itself from these experiences.
It did.
I'm thinking of the new listener to this information.
Sure.
You know, something that might have an impact.
Oh, I've got a powerful I'll give you my favorites.
Okay, please.
I thought this family was such an example of of a wonderful, wonderful hospice family. Remember, I take care of people in their homes. So I enter their world. I'm a guest in their world, which is so interesting. This was an extremely poor family, a family of color. They had been backwater sharecroppers in North Carolina, and the matriarch was dying and had five kids, I think, and they were all married and there were grandchildren, and she lived in this tiny little microscopic subsidized apartment in the town next to where I lived. And this family couldn't have been more perfect. I mean, they were so easy to take care of because they just had the nature. They just knew what to do. They sang songs to her. The minister came. The choir came. The family told stories. They sat around the bed when she'd be drifty, dreamy, and they do the remember whens, which is such a beautiful thing to do when somebody's dying, even if they're in a coma. Help them with that life review and those happy moments. So they were perfect. I mean, it was like it wasn't working with this family. And I went to see her one day, and she was getting drifty, dreamy, sleepy. I had a sense that she had a foot in two worlds quite a bit. And I said to her, so is there anything else I can do for you today, after I checked her out and stuff? And she said, I can't find the feed for the horses. And I said to her, like a typical city slicker, why did the horses need feed? And she looked at me. I mean, it was like she was rolling her eyes like, I'm dying here. I can't explain how to take care of animals to use city slickers. And she said to me with exasperation, how can they take me on this trip without being fed first? Hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Travel is the metaphor for dying.
Mm-hmm.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Wow.
The metaphor of travel is throughout literature, throughout music. It is a huge metaphor for dying. And so I got it. I got it. And I said, oh. And I turned around. Now, you have to picture this apartment so tiny. Her bed's in the living room. The kitchen is literally like an L of cabinets on the end of the room. And all five of her kids are standing there, leaning against the cabinets. And I looked at them like, something's missing. And they're looking at each other like, uh-oh, we're caught red-handed. And I said, something's missing. What is it? Nobody had told me about old Bad Roland. Old Bad Roland was her sixth child. He was not in the Sears portrait above the couch. He was the bad boy. I think his name was Old Bad Roland, all one word.
Yeah.
He had gotten into drugs. He had stolen her medications. He had sold it. He had gone to jail. The family just cut him right on out. He was no longer part of that wonderful church-going family. And so when I heard about Old Bad Roland, I looked at them. Okay, and I said, what part of the prodigal son story do we have to review? Now, I wouldn't say that to a non-Christian family, but this was.
Sure.
And they said, oh, God, oh, no. They knew I was going to get Roland and bring him here, okay?
Yeah.
Brought him. He was in the county jail. The warden let him out with the guards. He came to see his mother. I went to see her. He is combing her long white hair, and he is singing to her, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And I thought, if anybody who ever told me, isn't hospice work depressing, if they could stand here for a minute, they would get what I do.
How beautiful.
She died during that visit, and nobody noticed. She died when the oldest son stepped out of the door to ask the guard if Roland could stay and have dinner with the family.
Oh, it wasn't
enough that she reconciled with her bad boy. He needed to be folded.
It's almost like that's a movie, in a sense, what you're describing, a script.
But how easy to say, feed for the horses. She's confused, medicate her.
Right.
We would have lost all that.
Beautiful story. Well, Maggie, it's so nice to connect with you here at IANS.
And
I hope we can talk again. Everybody pick up the book, Final Gifts. It's linked up in the show notes on the Robert Scott Bell Show at robertscottbell.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
We have a great story from someone who's helped themselves to heal by using the botanical known as Carnivora. And we have a guest right now. Her name is Joni Nichols. This is quite a story.
Yes, it is. And Robert, I was a mess. I had numerous infections. My hair was falling out all over the furniture. Mm-hmm. One of the scariest things was that my legs were swung up out of control. It came to a head. Within 24 hours, I had gone into a coma.
Holy tamale.
Mom and Dad decided to get me Carnivora as a six-week program. Within two weeks, Robert, the first thing I noticed was that I felt better waking up. Then I noticed that my hair wasn't all over the furniture. I'm like all excited.
And she credits all of it to her Carnivora protocol.
This is Richard Ostrow, owner for Carnivora Research International. Call 1-866-836-8735. That's 1-866-836-8735. 8735 or visit carnivora.com, carnivora.com. Call now.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Rocking the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Brace yourself, folks. We're going for a ride here at IANS. I've got a special guest, Tony Woody. He's from New Hampshire, retired Navy. Tell me what you were doing in the Navy all those years ago.
How you doing, Robert? Glad to be here. I served 22 years in the United States Navy, all of it in the P-3 Orion aircraft. Started learning how to be a flight engineer on a 71-ton, 4-engine turboprop heavyweight aircraft at 18 years old. They put me in the seat and started teaching me the job.
Wow.
At 21 years old, I'd earned my Navy wings, and I was signing for a $100 million airplane at 21 years old, taking them out by myself as a flight engineer. At 24 years old, I was an instructor flight engineer, and by the time I was 27 years old, I was the senior instructor flight engineer for the entire P-3 Navy aircraft.
Okay,
program.
So what brings you to IANS? Talk about near-death experiences. I know your story because we chatted off the air. I almost want to call this premature near-death experience because you just saw something. You said, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing story. I want to hear what happened here. You're taking off down the runway or for landing?
Well, no, we had just taken off for a long flight. So we had a full crew, full bag of fuel. We're fully max allowable takeoff weight. At about 10,000 feet, we had an engine failure on number one. So we had to come back and make a 3-engine landing. We had to dump some fuel, and then we flew around for 45 minutes to get the max allowable land weight. And because we're really heavy, we're coming in a lot faster than we normally do because you need the extra airspeed to stay in the air.
Extra lift,
yeah. So you don't stall and fall. And so we were, this is in Barbers Point, Hawaii, at Naval Air Station Barbers Point in 1982. And I was 24 years old at the time. And so on approach, we were landing on runway 040 left. So there's parallel runways with asphalt between the two runways, but you're not supposed to be on the asphalt. Planes don't go there. That's not where you're supposed to be. And because it's an emergency landing, they had already pre-positioned six emergency fire trucks out on the, literally right beside the runway.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right?
So they're ready
for you. So if, as you fly by or go by it down the runway, they immediately start chasing you down the runway so that they're there just in case anything goes wrong.
Right.
And typically that's what you want, is to have them right there. But the problem with this was the pilot put in incorrect rudder after the nose gear came down after we touched down, and we immediately departed the runway to the right.
Whoa.
And it happened fast. We're doing probably about 150, 155 miles an hour, about 135, 40 knots, something like that. And it happened so fast. As we're departing the runway, we're headed directly at one of the fire trucks. And the guy on the top of the fire truck with the that mans the water cannon up there, he's in a silver suit. We were so close as we went by, I could see him screaming at the top of his lungs.
Thinking he was dead.
Yeah, he
done.
Probably thought he was dead, too.
Yeah.
And I immediately knew I was dead. I just knew it. I had death coming at me at 150 miles an hour, and there was nothing I could do about it. And the last thing I was thinking was I had a 2.5-year-old son at home, and I was never going to see my son again. And we were so close to the airplane, excuse me, that the right wingtip went over the top of that fire truck. The number 4 propeller, which is a 13-foot diameter propeller from tip to tip, is turning at 1,020 rounds per minute, and it weighs 2,200 pounds, and we're moving at 150-plus miles an hour.
It would have been a disaster if it hits it.
Yeah, if
up,
it had even nicked that fire truck, I wouldn't be
going
here.
Going up everything, right?
Yeah, we had still had 42,000 pounds of fuel on board, so, yeah, it would have been a big fireball.
Yeah.
And the propeller had to have literally gapped the front edge of the truck as it's spinning.
It's like an impossibility what happened.
A microsecond of difference of speed or location,
right.
I would not be here talking to you today.
No, so where does the NDE come in here?
Well, I had what's called an OBE, out-of-body experience.
Okay.
And then later I had something called a spiritually transformative experience.
Okay,
but because I thought I was about to die.
You left your body.
My soul, the next thing I know, my soul was out of the plane. I'm out of the plane. And I'm like, I guess my soul said, I'm not sticking around for the carnage. I'm out of here.
Right.
Because I literally knew I was dead. There's a difference between thinking you're going to die and you know you're dead.
Right.
Just, yeah.
You're like,
first time
okay, I know what's coming. I'm leaving
now. Well,
that's
the first time I'd ever actually faced death ever.
Okay.
For real.
So what could you see from your new vantage point?
Well, it was a combination of things. I could see all the fire trucks. I knew where they were. They had turned and started to try to chase us down. And there was all this debris that got thrown up in the air. And I started seeing the debris, and then all of a sudden I was the debris.
You were everywhere.
I was at everyone. There were millions of tiny pieces of debris being thrown up in the air, and I was, because the pilot had gone into reverse thrust and it threw all this.
Threw everything up. But you're sitting right there in the center in the cockpit
right.
at your position, but you're not there right now. You're now
actually,
everywhere.
I also had the perspective in the plane still, but I was also out of the airplane.
So you had like beyond 360.
I was in numerous places at once.
Right.
Yeah. And I was totally confused. I had no idea. I'm like, what the
how
is
they,
going
yeah,
on?
How do they train you for this, right?
There is no training for that,
right?
Be honest. And so we ended up going all the way across the runway and ended up on the other runway. Literally. And once we figured out the plane was nothing wrong with it, the fire trucks had caught up to us, and we sat there for a while. And I looked at the co-pilot, Lieutenant Dan Duffy, was sitting there, and I'm like, I wanted to ask him, did that just happen to you too?
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know what to say. I don't know, how do you say that? And
but at this point, you're back in your body.
Yeah, okay. When the plane stopped, right after it stopped, and he came to a full stop, it was like this shrinking of my consciousness. Everything just shrunk back into the seat where my original perspective was.
Right.
And that part was over, and now I'm like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And we literally ended up adding power and getting up. We were half on, half off runway 4 right.
So you're able to climb back onto the runway.
The other runway.
Yeah.
I made a 3-engine emergency landing in a 4-engine heavyweight aircraft, and I used 2 entirely different runways to make 1 landing and 1 approach, and I don't ever want to do that
again. Sounds like a bad joke you don't want to do.
It was not fun.
Well, and I can see as you were describing too, Tony, and whether we're talking with Tony Woody, he's a retired Navy, what a story, talking about OBE and out-of-body experience, but the emotions are very real for you even today, as you talked about your 2.5-year-old son at the time. I could feel just the reality of the experience. Now, you said there was a follow-up to this, though.
Right. Well, the next day, the commanding officer took myself and the pilot, Lieutenant Lovegren, that gooned the landing on the day of the incident.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Right. And I never even considered that it would be an issue, but on the first approach, I started having post-traumatic stress symptoms. And they didn't have a term for it back then, but I instantly knew that if the skipper saw my face and knew that I was scared like that, I'd never fly again. So I bent over and put my hands on the power lever like I got my head in the game ready to wave off in case we needed to. But what was really going on is I just couldn't look outside.
Wow.
Because it was too upsetting.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. And after a few landings, I had to convince myself, Tony, you've done thousands of landings. You've got 3,500 hours flight time already. It's never going to happen again. Just get your head in the game. Get back to work. And I had to talk myself back.
Because
you can't really say, hey, skipper, I want to bail out now because I don't want to do this anymore.
That's not going to happen, yeah.
You got to land. So I had to get through it. And then after that, it was fine. And then the next day, the incident happened on a Monday. The refly was on a Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, I'm watching television at night, and I saw a show. It was called That's Incredible. And I saw something.
Remember that show?
I saw something that I thought was a miracle. It was a guy named Leslie Lemke. And I won't go into his story, but I felt that what I was seeing was my first miracle. And now I understand everything's a miracle. I didn't know that at 24, but but back then I'm thinking I'm seeing my first miracle. And so that night when I went to bed, I said a simple, just genuine prayer of gratitude. And I grew up in East Texas, Southern Baptist, fundamentalist type religion. So I believed in God. And so I said a simple prayer of genuine gratitude that thank you for letting me see my first real miracle. And then I added the words, and Lord, it'd be nice if you could do something like that for me someday. You don't expect anything, right? Well, that night, what we call old dark 30 in the military, I don't know what time it was. It was pitch dark in the middle of the night. I suddenly had my consciousness was shifted to another dimension that was nothing like this one at all. I was in a black void looking at the most beautiful thing in existence. Mm-hmm. It was this golden white light that was absolutely the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I'm seeing you emotionally well up right now as you're telling me this story,
and
how awesome this must have been.
Well, it's because I call this my God, my creator. I knew I was in the presence of my creator. There was no doubt about that. the power, the unconditional love, profound unconditional love on a cosmic scale.
Yeah.
Was like God was ecstatic, insanely in love with me. I had no idea
that amount of love can burn
you
up.
That I was that precious, and I was just in dumbfounded awe of what I was seeing, and the energy was blasting through me, and I was feeling no words were spoken to me. There was absolutely no sound. I call it divine silence, but the energy of God expressing to me what God felt about me and thought about me was just, I was stunned. I couldn't believe. And I said three words. I said, oh my goodness, just in dumbfounded awe. And the instant I said the word goodness, the essence of goodness blasted through me. And then it was joy, bliss, harmony, peace, ecstasy. And I had this knowledge, this knowing that I was home. I was finally home. And I did not want to leave.
Tony, back from that, it's like, what do you do?
Well, here's what happened. I had this, there's this moment where I call it the urge to merge. There's this deep desire to go in deeper into the light, and just, you don't want anything else. You know, I had a wife next to me, I had a 2.5-year-old son in the next bedroom, and I didn't even consider them. It's not that I was being rude or anything about that. I just, the experience is so overwhelming, you can't think of anything else. It's just all happening, and you have to
And so, but coming back from that, I mean, if you're growing up as a Baptist, they're not going to like.
Well, here's there's a lot that happened after that, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
But I sat, as I had that urge to merge, I had this, I physically sat up in my bed and had my arms outstretched and my eyes opened up. And that's when, because I think God did this knowing I'm an engineer, and he wouldn't, if it didn't do it this way, I wouldn't ever believe it.
Yeah.
But I knew it was real. It was the most real thing I've ever experienced. But I looked at the foot of the bed, at the end of the bed, the wall down there was gone, and the light was in my bedroom. Okay. God was in my bedroom, and it was lit up like a billion stars, and my wife's sleeping dead, not moving. I'm like, how can she be asleep? And I had enough time to go, this is real. This is really happening. This is really happening. And then right after that, from the outer edges, it didn't go away instantly, but it kind of shrunk down to the center and went away. And then I just yelled out, no!
No, don't take it away.
I just lost the greatest love I'll ever know.
Yeah.
And I just cried the rest of the night.
Stand by. Can you stick around for one more second?
Yeah.
Tony Woody's going to be with us. We're going to find out what happens after this extraordinary experience and how it can impact your life as well, right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, live from IANS.
Live around the world, the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Did you know that I have not been to the doctor to treat an illness in over a decade? Do you want to know the secret to unlocking your immune system to help your body fight off disease naturally? Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, and after writing several books and spending thousands of hours researching natural alternatives, I'd like to share with you my secret to optimal health. It's my immune system. It's what keeps me healthy while naturally preventing sicknesses. So, how do I keep myself and family from getting sick? It's from the premium supplements I get from Betterway Health, like Barley's Flax Oil, Green Tea Extract, and Transfer Point's Beta-1 3D Glucan. Betterway Health only carries the highest quality supplements on the market. They're the nation's number one retailer of Transfer Point Beta Glucan, which is an immune system supplement that outperforms top competitors 16-1. I've teamed up with Betterway Health to stay big on these all-natural supplements. All you need to do is go to betterwayhealth.com/radio to get your exclusive Ty Bollinger discount today. Again, that's betterwayhealth.com/radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere?
Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937. Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Scott Bell Show. It's really hard to do justice to some of the experiences I'm having here at IANS, and I would urge you, if you want to show up tomorrow, one more day, next day, whatever, today, go to an event like this and talk to people like Tony Woody. And I had to hold you over because that story is so gripping, and you know the raw emotions I'm seeing pour from you as you're telling me this story. The big question happens is, like, when you have an experience like that, how do you get back into your regular life? Because you can't communicate with just about anybody. You go back to the religion of your youth, and they're often, their orthodoxy says, you know, you're now a threat to our congregation because you had a direct experience. We can't explain. We don't want to acknowledge that you have it, or else no one's going to come back to us.
Well, here's right? What happened. And that following Sunday, I went to the church, the Waianae Baptist Church on the west end of Oahu, where my wife and I were going, and they had a guest pastor that week. So I went to him afterwards, and it was 2 years before I could tell the story without crying. But I was able to get the story out and told him what happened after the church services were over. And he looked at me with an odd look, and he tilted his head and looked at me, and then just turned his back on me and walked away and didn't say anything. He just left me standing there. Just, I was dumbfounded. I was like, I needed help, and I got none.
Yeah.
And so I walked away from that, and I just got angry.
You know, I felt like I didn't get any answers from God. It was just over. There was no word spoken to me, so I felt like I got kicked out of heaven. And then I got kicked out of the church on Sunday following after that. So I was pretty upset about that. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not doing any of that anymore. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with the church. None of that. And but it's traumatic experience when you have that, because once you've had a taste of perfection, then you have to come back to here.
Yeah, that is the question for a lot of folks. How do we put it back into some level of perspective that we can continue on? Of course, you have a love for your wife, you have a love for your son, but again, how do you compare it? You can't, to that love of God that's so direct. No. As you experienced there. So, did you make peace with this? Did you get through the anger? Is the anger still there?
No. Well, over the years, I understood that guy that I went to, he didn't have an answer either. But I didn't know that at 24. I'm thinking, right, you know, what's wrong with getting my answer? I just didn't have the wisdom, or I was too naive at that age. And you think you're maybe doing adult things at 24, but you're not really, you don't have the wisdom yet. And so I read a book about 10 years later by Kenneth Ring called Lessons from the Light. And that was what started my... Now, back in the 82, when that happened to me, there was no internet. There was nothing like that to go to look up. You didn't have access to videos to go look at other people's NDEs.
Right.
None of that. So I just kind of had to wing it on my own. And when I read that book, that helped me a lot. And so I started seeking and learning. And over the years, I've been connected to a lot of people. And now I know who and what I am. And I understand a whole lot more. I have a lot deeper wisdom about it. But I'm also 59 years old now, not 24. So I've had a lot of life experience to teach me the things I needed to learn.
Right.
And asking, you shall receive. The answers come.
How did your son ultimately, now he's grown up, right?
Yeah.
An adult. And your wife, how do they relate to you on this issue? Is it fascinating to them, or is it like, oh, that's just,
well,
bad?
Not unlike a lot of people, that caused a lot of problems in my life at that age, so I ended up divorcing that woman.
Mm-hmm.
But my son, I'm leaving from here on Sunday to go to North Carolina to his 20-year retirement ceremony from the United States Marine Corps.
Wow.
But my son's bedroom was on the other side of that wall. And one time he came to hear me speak at Virginia Beach, and I talk about how I cannot wear a watch anymore. Because
did you speak at the Edgar Cayce Institute,
yes,
or something?
Yeah. My watch, when I put a watch on, within a week it's dead. And my energy has changed my body. And my son, that's when he heard it the first time. He goes, you know, Dad, I can't wear a watch either. And I went, that's because you were in the light too, and you were on the other side of the wall. You were just 2.5 years old. You don't remember it.
Wow.
And so,
stunning. Really stunning.
Yeah.
So now you're here at the IONS. This is the first time here at this event?
It's my first conference to do at IONS. I've been working with IONS quite a bit. We're trying to create a video to help veterans and get into the VA for the frontline people, because there's a traumatic aspect to having a spiritual experience that's not being addressed by people that have been in combat. They've had post-traumatic stress from combat, but there's another trauma that needs to be addressed.
I talked to Diane Corcoran about that earlier, too.
Well, on Saturday at 3:15 in the Magnolia A room, I will be telling my story, and it's going to be recorded, and we're
beautiful,
going to create all that for the VA.
Well, Tony, you know, you're a blessing that you're willing to communicate that experience, and I appreciate that. And it's so cool that you're also an engineer, because, you know, we need proof. If you're an engineer, you're like, no, you're going to show me, right?
Yep.
So it's all the more extraordinary that you're able to share that story with us. And is there a place people can go on the web to find you if they want more questions or interact with you?
There's a website called ndeaccounts.com.
Okay.
And there's a lot of videos on there, and under my video, just look, do a Tony Woody search on that.
Okay.
And you will find in that link, there's a email address, and you can contact
me. We'll have that link.
Always answer people
in the show notes. All right, Tony, well, great to be with you here at IONS. So thank you for coming on.
And one last thing, everybody, go be love. That's all that matters.
Oh, that's beautiful. As always, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries. Aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm,
and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Evalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by The Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.